Hey, it's Mackenzie.
And this is Shaylin.
And this is the Male Spouse Brief.
So, Kenzie, how was your week?
It was pretty good, actually. So, Cade was in the field this week, kind of like your husband was as well. And I was kind of, like, actually nervous just because we are so used to long distance. That's all we've known of our relationship. And now this is the first time that we were apart since he got home from his deployment. And mm-hmm. So I was like, what am I going to expect? Like, what is it going to be like? And kind of like I talked about last week, I was really bummed because I was supposed to be on a work trip and then it kind of fell through. But I had a lot of things that I got to do this week that ended up working out and like being good. So I am happy that it kind of all worked out. Mm-hmm. I got to meet with that girl. So now I'm working with her photography kind of company and brand. And so I've been helping her rebrand everything. And I've so far really liked it and really enjoyed it. And then last night she texted me and she was like, hey, I've really enjoyed this so much that I've talked to my photography friends about you and a bunch of them are going to reach out. So just so you know, like I shared your number and like a bunch of them followed me last night. So I hope that they reach out just because I feel like that would be awesome. That's and just so give exciting. Me an idea about what I want to do and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's like a push into that kind of career.
Exactly. Sure. So that's what I'm excited about. How was your week?
It's been good. We did pictures for our listing on the house. It's going on the market, I think, tomorrow or Monday. And I'm really excited to kind of be done with the process.
Oh, for sure.
It's a lot of work. Just like getting your house decluttered, staging the house was so stressful because I'm a control freak. And having someone come into your house and say, no, you can't have this in your house, I'm like, what do you mean? This is my house. Like,
yeah.
I want this in my house. So I kind of just locked myself in the office and worked while they did their thing. And the house looked immaculate.
It looked so good.
It was so clean. And then, I mean, the second they left, I brought things back from the garage, yeah. like Parker's stuff. But it definitely opened my eyes to how hard the process is because I don't think, you know, it just happened so fast when we made the decision to sell our house.
Yeah.
And we were kind of just like nonchalant about it. And now I'm like, holy crap, it is a lot of work to sell your house. And then now I'm just looking forward to next week when we clean it and then leave it for the weekend for showings.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, it's just moving that we have to do. And that's,
true.
You know, like that's it. So I'm excited to have the process over with. We have our move-in date for our housing.
When do you move in?
So the move-in date is April 9th.
Okay.
Which is a Friday. Because they don't let you pick a weekend.
Yeah, I know. Which is annoying.
Yeah, Austin's in school. So he's starting his new school that week.
Oh, okay.
So we're just doing the day after. We're just going to actually move in the day after. So we're going to get keys on that Friday. And then we'll just move in the next day.
Okay.
And so that's cool. We solidified that date yesterday. And other than that, just working and trying not to mess up my house too much.
No, for sure. And I've been preparing. I have to go to Northern California this upcoming week, and so I've just been getting ready for that. And this is the first time I feel like Cade and I have been apart when he has to do, like, everything by himself. And he's yeah. like, I'm going to starve. And so I've been, like, trying to, like, make meals to, like, for him to eat and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun. But I'm really excited
He'll
to get
great.
Back to work and get to I love working and
yeah.
I think that's why we're so excited to talk about this episode
yeah.
but I love it and I miss it so much. Like I've been doing stuff around and just some computer stuff or helping different clients
here
back
and there.
In
yeah.
different states with the job, but actually like traveling and being hands-on is like something I really love.
Definitely. Okay, so we are super excited about this week's topic because it's something super important to Kenzie and I's identities and like how we are.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about careers.
And
this week.
Yeah. And so I think we're really excited just because we've had really a lot of like different experiences just in these last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We've both got to experience a lot. And then I think that one of the things that is really important to talk about is how much the military and being married in the military affects your career because of how demanding our husbands' careers are and
exactly.
how that affects it.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. And I think that's a hot topic with
yeah.
military spouses is having a career, keeping a career. I mean, just getting into a career in general is super tough, especially because so many of us in this world go straight from high school. It's
yeah.
like 18-year-olds who get married and join the military, or join the military, then get married. And so there's no opportunity really to jump into college or a career. And, but I think it's possible. And I think that's what this will be kind of a testament to. This podcast is
for sure.
It's definitely possible. It just is going to take a little bit of finessing because it's different from the typical route that you would take.
No, I totally agree. And I think we're on the one end of the spectrum where we're really fortunate that we do have our degrees. I graduate in May and you have yours, and that we've had the opportunity to do that. But that also, I feel like, puts us in this other category of all of our other friends that are graduating or have degrees are now having and starting their careers. Yeah. And I feel like you and I are both in this kind of lull of like, well, we are about to graduate or we have a degree and what do we do moving forward?
100%.
And then on the other hand, with other spouses that we know, it's kind of like, well, I never did get my degree, or I became a mom right away, or I just rely on my husband because we move so often and it's hard for me to have a career. What do I do? What, you know, and things like that. So I think that's what we're going to talk about today, just because there's a lot to learn and understand, and then things that me and you have both experienced in these last couple of years with the military and a career in general. So where do you want to start?
So I think we should just start with talking about each other's backgrounds.
Yeah, go ahead, because you have a really cool background.
So I got my degree at Arizona State University.
Okay.
I started as a psych major because I thought I wanted to be a psychologist. And then I wanted to be a lawyer, so I thought even still keeping the psychology degree would be fine because they don't really care.
They don't care as much what your
base bachelor's degree is in. But funny story of how I switched to political science, though. I was in an Uber going to a festival with my friends. Well, I was meeting them there, so it's just me and this guy in the Uber. Also, made really sketchy decisions like that in college to take an Uber ride by myself.
I'm dead.
2 p.m. in the afternoon. But he was like, "Ugh, you're taking psych. Why don't you challenge yourself and do something more hard, like political science?" And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." So I freaking switched my bachelor's to political science, which, by the way, is 10 times easier than psychology.
Yeah.
I don't know why I listened to some random guy in an Uber, but you know what? I did. And I was still pre-law, so I decided that was the route I wanted to take. And then I decided that I loved the state of Washington and that I wanted to go to UW for law school. So I moved up to Seattle for 6 months to try and get residency before I graduated with my bachelor's, so that way I could enter law school at UW
as a resident. So were you taking classes online?
Yeah, because Arizona State has like 80,000 students online.
Oh, okay,
so cool. They were like this, they had a huge online program, and political science was part of it, so I could finish online if I wanted to. So I just kind of transferred over to that, and did really bad living there on my own, just like managing money, and I couldn't afford to live. And I was working full-time, trying to finish my degree full-time, and then I found out that you can't gain residency if you move for school. You have to move for another reason.
That stinks.
So I could have probably tried to, like, fix the system a little bit and figured out a way to put it, but at the end of the day, I wasn't happy and ended up meeting Austin anyway over Instagram. Yeah. Kind of meeting him, but, like, officially talking to him for the first time over Instagram. So we moved back to Arizona to date him. Not really to date him, but just to be happy. And then we started dating. But I finished my degree online still from Arizona State. And I had decided not to do law school because Austin joined the military. And obviously, I wasn't sure we were going to go.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe I'll just work for the local government, maybe wherever we end up. And then we came here. And that's kind of where the story ends. I mean, it's really hard to get into anything political, I feel like, especially if you don't have connections. And I didn't do internships. And that was something that I missed out on for sure, was doing an internship or working alongside a professor to get that experience in, like, you know, studying things outside of what I was just doing per class.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I don't have anything extra or any pizzazz to my degree, which a lot of people have. And a lot of people were able to, at the end of their senior year, travel.
Yeah.
And say, okay, there's this internship in Washington, D.C. super cool. I can't take it because I'm married to a Marine here in California.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to add to that. And then also, to top it off, I don't want to work for the government, I realized. I wanted to be a lawyer, and that is just didn't really fall into my path. But I did become a mom, and that's pretty cool.
Which is awesome, and a whole job within itself. Yes. So my path is, like, kind of funny, similar. So I graduated from high school, and I was set to leave Ohio. I was like, screw Ohio. I don't ever want to come back here. And I went to the university, Utah State University, mm-hmm. up in Logan, Utah, for a semester. And I was probably the most miserable I've ever been in my entire life. It taught me the most life lessons I've ever learned. And it was very influential in who I am today and everything like that. But I hated it. I was paying $14,000 a semester. Mm-hmm. It was not worth it. And so my mom is a math professor at a university called Franklin, which is in Columbus. And she was like, why don't you just come back and use my credits? Like, she's been a professor for over 10 years, so she had plenty of credits. And as her daughter, I could use them for free. So all I had to pay was books. And so I came back to Columbus, lived with my parents for 6 months, started working for my dad, and then going to school online because I did everything. And then I started as a political science major. And I also wanted to be a lawyer. And then I realized that it was not going to work because I wanted to marry Cade.
Yeah.
And Cade always is like, well, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, there's nothing to be sorry about. Yeah. It was just, it wasn't like, I didn't want you to ever feel like I was choosing, because I knew that if I chose that career, I'd have to still finish my undergrad and then go live somewhere specifically for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the military, you're not even guaranteed 4 years in a place.
Exactly.
And then I kind of realized that I don't know if actually being a lawyer was, like, what I wanted to do. And so talking with my mom, she was like, I really think you should do PR, just public relations. And so I was like, okay. So I started my PR degree at Franklin, and it was really nice because I did everything online. So I was still able to travel every week for my job with my dad, which was really fun too. So I graduate in May, which I'm really excited about, and I finished it in less than 3 years. So it's been crazy busy. Like, I took 24 credits last semester.
That's
so
insane.
Like, I just wanted to be done because I was able to just kind of like plow through it.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to be done. And now I'm trying to figure out what I want to do kind of as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of struggle. Why I'm excited with starting to take on some clients and kind of experience PR to see if that's what I want to do or mm-hmm. what realm I want to do. I haven't been able to intern either just because I got married and I moved.
Yeah.
And so I think like an intern in DC would have been like so cool.
Right.
Or like Boston or like some major city.
Yeah.
But I realized that I have so much more and I'm so lucky to be living here and getting to
yeah.
have these memories and experiences with Cade, and that like no internship could top that. So overall, but it's also hard because your resume just doesn't look as pizzazzy, you know? And that's hard because if you don't have connections, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at your resume. They're
yeah.
not looking at like your potential, or they're not looking at like, oh, I have somebody to vouch for you besides someone who's done 4 internships every summer, you know? So I totally get that. And I think it's hard. I feel like in the military, you have kind of like 3 groups. You have somebody that like wants a career but is kind of struggling how to do it. You have somebody that has a career, and you can probably have seen these posts that you have a lot of women really struggle with giving up their career because
mm-hmm.
their husband got orders overseas, or their husband got orders and they're like, I just got a promotion, like I can't leave. And so then it's the whole debate of like, do we do long distance, what do we do? And then you have the group that are just moms or don't want a career at all, which is all 3 are totally good. I don't
yeah.
think there's one
no.
better than the other,
no.
but I think they all come with their own pros and cons.
Exactly. And that's something that I struggled with. I never expected myself to want to be a stay-at-home mom. I've always loved working. I love making my own paycheck. I love making my own goals and having
yeah.
my own, you know, way to work up through a job. But having Parker, I was like, dang, I really just want to stay home and be with him. And like, I don't want to miss anything. But at the same time, I don't think I would be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I'm not saying my son doesn't fulfill me, because, like, he completes my life completely. But at the same time, for my own personal sanity, I need to find
something.
What I love to do. And I don't want to put that pressure on myself. Like, my job doesn't have to be what I love.
Yeah.
Like, what I love can be my family and the house that we have and what we do together. But I want to find a job that does at least somewhat make me happy.
Definitely.
Like, I don't want to be working this 9-to-5 that I'm doing right now, like, hourly position where I'm just basically doing it to make money. You know, I just need the money. Want the day to be over. I don't feel like it's fulfilling my life in any way, shape, or form. And I think that happens a lot with military spouses is like, crap, we need extra income. I haven't taken the time or I haven't had the time to build my resume, make connections, maybe even go to school. And now, you know, I have to figure out something in the meantime. It's just like figuring out what to do now before the next place.
Yeah.
And I think, though, positive upside to this whole COVID situation is now most big industries and businesses are going all remote.
That's true. I feel like that's been a huge mm-hmm. thing. I was talking to my professor about that the other day because I was like, we're waiting to kind of figure out what Cade's going to do. And that puts a lot of blank variables in our plan and like my career and what I should do and all that kind of stuff like that. Yeah. And she stated that a lot of them have remote positions and that it doesn't matter. And that a lot of companies are on the East Coast, need West Coast people yes. because of the time zone change. And so mm-hmm. I think that that has shown people that you can have people all over the country and even all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And it allows you to see that it's possible. I think that's just the biggest downside with being how military is, they move you around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, most jobs want you to stay in a position. But now with them being more remote, they're like, well, if you can just do your work, it doesn't really matter exactly. where you're at.
And it's funny because this is kind of off the career topic, but we were talking to a realtor about the whole COVID situation and working from home. And oh, she yeah. was like, that's why so many people are moving like
oh,
to different places because they can. It's like, okay, we were stuck in, you know, Montana because of, I guess Montana's a bad example. We were stuck in Seattle because of so-and-so's job. But we really want to move to Montana.
Yeah.
So now that we're working remotely, we can move to Montana. And that's where so many people are moving to Arizona. They're moving to Ohio. They're moving to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Those cheaper states where they're like, crap, I can make the same amount that I'm making here in California and live twice as nice in Montana, probably three times as
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, literally.
Because, and own 4 acres because I'm making all this money in a cheap state working from home. So I think that we talk about all this doom and gloom about, oh, it's so hard or being a military spouse, getting a career, but I think it's actually looking up and I think it's going to be a lot easier for military spouses to start into careers rather than jobs.
Yeah.
Moving into the future because we're going to have this opportunity to move with our jobs.
No, I totally agree. The only downside, and I don't know how companies come up with this, but Shay and I found a company that was literally made by military spouses for military spouses, and you help other companies like be assistants and all this kind of stuff. And Shay and I were like really thrilled because we're like, this would be
so inspired.
We were like, they get it because the owners and creators are military spouses. And so I remember seeing it one morning and I sent it to Shay and I was like, Shay, this is literally golden. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. And then the fine print literally listed that if you're a resident in X amount of states, like they're not taking applicants for those states. And lo and behold, every single one of those states is where the three major
Marine Corps
bases are.
Yeah.
Like the three places that we would be sent.
They are not taking applicants.
And so I was like, how do you like check off applicants from a state if it's a remote position? I don't know. And it really kind of annoyed me. But other doors have opened, so we're good. But I think that's the only downside is I know other applicants that I've mm-hmm. seen or other job postings do have, because it's remote position, specific areas, which I don't know how that necessarily works, that like how you decide that as a company.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a tax difference or if it's a...
So I actually just watched a podcast. It was like a video / podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it doesn't really make sense, but there was a Facebook Live that they were doing about one of their podcasts, and I think it was Instant Teams, and I'll talk about the job boards that are good for these virtual jobs in a minute, but Instant Teams is one of them. They do these podcasts and these live videos about virtual jobs,
and
they were saying that if they don't have a client who works in or pays income or whatever
mm-hmm.
taxes in a state, they can't hire in that state.
So all of their clients are not in those states. So unless a client of theirs, say, is based out of Austin, Texas, but does business in California, they're paying business taxes in California and Austin, Texas. So now you can employ people in California and Austin, Texas.
Gotcha.
So you can't, because you have to have a business license in those states. So if a business doesn't have a license in California, they can't hire anyone in California.
So maybe it's either that, or maybe they like came to a max and they're like, enough companies in those states to employ people for those states. So that makes sense. But that's the only, I think, downside when it comes to remote is when you go through like hiring agencies and stuff like that, you do have some caveats that you have to be aware of.
Exactly. Side note, in the future, see, Kenzie and I run in some business for military spouses.
Yeah, it's like Shay and I's goal in the end of the freaking road of this thing. But no, I totally agree. So the other thing I kind of want to talk about is the hard thing that ties into when you do have a career with your husband's schedule. And so I don't personally have this yet because I don't have kids, but I remember like as a kid, like if you got sick, you know, it's like, oh, well, one person can leave their job and one parent can't, or one parent can work on this and another one, you know, and you kind of have like that flexibility of like, oh, well, I'm having a lesser day at work and I can go do that.
Exactly.
I don't know if that changes the higher you get up in the military. If it's like, oh, I'm a gunny and I can leave because my kid needs something. Yeah. But I have seen a lot of posts about how parents struggle to have the parents employ about, like, have the parents, the like, so we'll say the moms. We'll have the moms have a career. And if something happens to their kid and they can't leave, but the husband can't either, what do you do? And so I've seen a lot of people be like, my employer is very strict about that, but my husband can't. So I think that's one of the hardest things is if you don't have an employer that understands military life.
Yeah.
It causes a lot of issues.
1,000%. And I think in my last job that I was in before having Parker, they were very understanding.
That's good.
For the most part. The CEO is a military spouse.
Oh, really?
For 27 years. So she understood. So if we did have like, okay, my husband's coming home from a deployment, I'm not going to be at work.
No.
Like, I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. And they were very understanding. I think my current employer, granted, it is just a job that I have in the meantime right now, they would have a total issue with it if I was last minute going to say, hey, crap, I need to pick up my son from daycare, you know? It's a little bit different because I'm hourly now than I was on salary before. But that is definitely a huge speed bump is, yeah, it's awesome. I have a career, but at the same time, half the time I have to leave and they're going to fire me because I have to leave. And you never really know what's going to get thrown your way. And exactly like you said, our husbands can't just leave
work. Yeah.
I mean, maybe when they're higher up, and we'll definitely get someone on that we can ask about that, one of these future podcasts, but they can't just leave.
No, and I think that's, like, the hard, like, for example, remember that day that you had the interview and you're like, hey, Austin's supposed to come home, but now I can't. Can you come watch Parker? And so it's things like that where it's, like, you think that they might be able to, or, like, just small little things come up and then you're like, if I don't have a support system, if my parents don't live around, or if I don't have someone that I could call, then you're really in a pickle, because then if your baby's crying in the background, you have to tend to it, but then your employer's like, hey, this is an interview. Why is your child crying?
Exactly. Oh, so stressful.
So I feel like that's the hard thing when it is. And, like, they have such last-minute things, especially in our husband's jobs. I think, like, we kind of learned from listening to Bree that some jobs aren't as crazy or last-minute. But I think anything where you're dealing with a lot more, like, quote-unquote boots on ground. So, like, artillery, infantry. When you have a lot of those, like, more hands-on jobs, I'm sure, I know anything with, like, the airfield or anything in that industry is very much hands. And we have a wife coming on next week. About that. So that will be interesting to learn kind of how her husband's job has changed and things like that. But I definitely think it's hard because Cade will come home and say, okay, Monday I go in at 5, Tuesday I go in at 3, Wednesday I go in at 8:30, Thursday I have off for some random reason, and Friday I go in at 7.
Yeah.
And, like, how would you even figure that out with daycare?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, if he was like, and so I think that's when it's hard as a military spouse. And kind of side note, but I think that's the hardest thing when, I think why we had this podcast was because we do have a lot of civilian listeners, that bridging this gap is hard because as much as we want to bridge the gap, military life is still its own bubble.
So different.
Because it has all these weird rules and regulations that, like, my husband just can't call up a staff sergeant and say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not coming in right now because I have something going on. You know, like, there's no understanding almost.
There's no freedom.
Yeah. And so I think that's the hardest thing when, so for example, I was writing a paper for one of my classes and they said to pick an article and either agreed with the ideology or you didn't, explain why you don't agree with what the government was doing and things like that. And it was about military funding and it was about how one political party disagreed with giving the military funding and things like that. And so I wrote it from the perspective of, and I did research on every single one of the politicians that was in the article and that gave their own opinion. And I explained how none of them had military background. And I think that's fine. But when you're making decisions about the military and you have no idea, I think it changes. Because I can imagine before I fell in love with a Marine and married him, in my mind, military budgets, like, yeah, they're weapons. Oh, yeah, they're planes. Oh, yeah, they're ships. But it goes back into the food they eat in the chow hall, their barracks, the homes we live in. Mm-hmm. How many homes have mold and...
The schools, the child care.
Like, it's so much more than just, like, their big tanks or their big weapons. And then even if you were to go into the armory, how old are some of their guns? How old are, like... And so I wrote the paper just about how I believe that the military funding is important, and I'm not saying that we should just dump random money in, but that I wish people that didn't agree with military funding got to experience a field op, got to experience the chow hall for a week, got to experience living on a mew. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I think that is the biggest thing with military life, and I hope employers are able to understand that when employing. Like, I wish more people realized what military spouses go through when it comes to understanding their husband's jobs, because it affects so much more. It's not a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And that there's so much more that goes into military life than meets the civilian eye.
100%. And I know that every year, more and more employers are becoming military friendly.
That's good.
For a while, I've seen it veteran friendly. That's always true. It's always been... Let's hire veterans, which is awesome, and 1,000% we need more veterans to be hired, because, you know, the homeless rate for veterans is ridiculous.
Very high.
But
because of how drastic, like, I can only imagine what it was like if you didn't have a support system that was helping you when you got out. Exactly. Because a lot of times you're almost forgotten. Exactly. You're no longer a number that has to be counted in roll call. And so I can only imagine going from someone choosing your decisions every single day
to having zero idea what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
That's what we should do on a podcast about transition.
That's a good idea.
We'll get a spouse on that just transitioned out. Oh my God, that word transitioned out.
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea.
Anyway, so where was I going with that?
So we were talking about military, like companies that are being military friendly.
Oh yeah, so more companies are, instead of just hiring veterans, they're being military spouse friendly. And I know on usajobs.gov, you can put a specific filter on for military spouse-friendly jobs.
Oh, that's really good.
The only issue is they're like GS, you know, like GS is like the government ranked. It's like they have like a ranking system on how experienced you need to be for a job. So there's GS 0814, basically. That's like Austin's MOS, right?
Okay.
But starting with a zero and a number would be less experience, whereas you'd be like GS 17, you need to be more experienced.
Okay.
So a lot of those jobs that I found on USA.gov, you do have to have more experience.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get experience when all people look at on your resume is that you've had these oddball jobs here and there because you've moved so much. And it's like a double-edged sword. They want you to have all this experience in different fields and different, you know, types of the same job, basically. But they also want to see your commitment to one place.
Yeah.
But we can't give either, because
exactly,
we can't get a job that gives you all these experiences and keep it for a long time because we're moving or something happens and you have to quit because, you know, something's going on in the military. They're not going to give you those days off. Well, I'm going to have to quit.
Yeah.
So all these things run into like us having these issues And now it just sounds like this big pity party. But it is really hard. And I think there are becoming more and more education opportunities as well as employment opportunities. And I wanted to share some of those because I've been in the job market recently and still am because I've accepted a temp position just for some income right now. But I'm definitely looking for my next career or just a career in general. But so some good job boards to look at for like virtual stay-at-home jobs. And I will put it out there. Most of these are going to be like call center customer service type of positions.
Yeah.
Most of them, except for the first one that I'm going to mention, you're going to have to be on the phone. It's probably not as ideal to have kids at home because they do require you to have a quiet background. But the first one is not like that. The first one's called Simpler Flex, and it's S-I-M as in Mary, P-L-R Flex. And this one is where you are hired on as a contractor to do chats.
Oh, nice.
So, you know how when you're on a website...
And it pops up.
And it pops up. And that's an individual on the other line. And they will hire specifically military spouses to do that.
That's nice.
You take an assessment, which I thought I was this, like, customer service expert, and I took the assessment, and they did not like my answers. But they give you a second chance, so I still have a second chance.
That's good. What did they not like about your answers?
So, basically, I don't know, they don't tell you. They make you take this class. So... They make you, like, respond to questions like you would on a chat.
Okay.
And I guess I just didn't respond, right? But, so if you don't pass the first time, they send you to this class. It takes, like, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you finish the class and you get a second opportunity. So, you do have that. You just take the class. But they have a wait list. So, it's, like, a month long. So, that you pass the test. They put you, or they don't call it a test, assessment. Then they put you on the wait list, and then once there's an opportunity and an opening, they'll reach out to you once you get hired.
Oh, that's nice.
And basically, you just log in whenever you want, and you work when you can as, you know, the someone who answers those quick online questions.
Yeah.
And that's great for if you have kids at home. It just isn't as stable if you're not able to work as often because you won't get as many opportunities.
True.
The other ones, there's a Facebook group called VertForce that Kenzie actually shared with me. I found it on one of the Wise pages too. And they post virtual opportunities every day.
Yeah.
And then there's Instant Teams, which is another virtual kind of like agency where they will occasionally have clients of theirs who are looking for virtual employees. And then Military OneSource is a really great, I mean, for more than just
career. Yeah, you can do your taxes on that.
Everything on Military OneSource. But education and career-wise, Military OneSource helps a lot getting certificates, getting experience. You can even ask them about job opportunities. A lot of them are remote as well, so Military OneSource will often be hiring for virtual positions. And then I also want to mention talent agencies. I have found it really useful to apply to specific talent agencies because then they can take your resume and look at all of those opportunities and see which one you fit. They do the work for you and you're not paying them. Everyone who's has a job posted with them is paying them.
Oh, that's good to know.
So it's kind of like a free resource. Is that what you did when you with
what's his name?
Yes. So okay. The last few that I've interviewed for were through a talent agency and it's just easier because you interview the talent agency and you're rep with them and they know you. They get to know you. They know what you want to do. And then when something comes across their table that you fit for, you're a good fit for, they put you up for it.
That's awesome.
So I definitely recommend talent agencies. It was Tariq,
right?
Yeah, Tariq. But, and he was such a great help and helped me a lot. But yeah, those are some great opportunities for, they're definitely not, I would say, careers.
Yeah.
These are more jobs you're working hourly or you're a contractor and you're getting paid for the work you're doing. But it's definitely a way to bring in income in the meantime if you're working towards a career.
Yeah, and I definitely think that is something that is important because I feel like that's when you kind of sit down and when you look at your and if you've listened to some of our other podcasts about budgeting and meal prepping and things like that, if you are struggling with figuring out a career, there's other ways to make money stretch and things like that. And so I feel like it's important to do both, to be able to figure out, hey, what is the money coming in and what is the money going out? And then where are we lacking and where are we struggling and, you know, things like that. I was doing our budget last night and we spent like $400 average on groceries in December and January, and that's when we did everything to kind of work on. And then for February, we only spent $336. Nice. So we literally dropped like almost $100, which was all because of like everything we've been doing. And so it's nice to kind of see your work pay off, because I think sometimes it can be hard because you're like, are we actually like doing things? And but the numbers really help you and see like, hey, it's worth it, because we didn't starve. We didn't eat bad food. Yeah. We're just focusing and being more aware of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes helps, because also I've seen when Kate and I make a goal of like, hey, this is something we want with our money, it becomes work, but it's also like, hey, I know this money is going towards X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
And that you're being pushed in a way that's like, oh, I just have to, like, pay for this bill. But you're like, oh, I'm going on vacation, and this money will get me, like, an extra drink at the bar. Yeah, you know, or, like, a exactly. nice dinner out, or an excursion we want to go on. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah, making that extra money, too, can help fill those gaps. But in the long run, like I had mentioned in the beginning, it's important to find, like, what makes you, you, and what, if you're going towards a career route, let's say, like, you want to stay home and be a mom, awesome, perfect.
But make sure that's what you want.
But if you don't and you want a career, it's not impossible to find one. And I think that it just takes a lot of work, and that's hard. It is hard to write up all of these different cover letters and find those jobs that make sense. Because you don't want to just be applying to apply. But those job boards that I just mentioned are something you can be doing while also, like, searching for that career, because you're still bringing in an income, but you're also able to have a little bit of time to apply to those bigger jobs that might end up being careers.
For sure. And I think if you do, like, some career aptitude tests will help you kind of get an idea. And when my parents were talking to Cade, because Cade's trying to figure out his idea of, does he want to stay in? Does he want to get out? Yeah. What does he want to do? And so my grandpa created and started working for a plumbing school and a, like, apprenticeship school. So you go to the school and you learn how to become a plumber. And so my mom has now taken that over. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was talking to Cade about plumbing and kind of what that looks like and what that would entail if he wants to get out of the military and do that, or if he wants to stay in. So that's our current debate of figuring out what our future looks mm-hmm. like. And my mom said that her biggest advice, and specifically in marriage as well, is that when you are happy in your career, you're happy with whatever you're doing, because most of the time you're going to work for a long time. Yes. You know what I mean? Most people don't retire at age 35 millionaires.
Exactly.
And so I think my mom just said that the more you are happy, the better. Like, my parents' marriage was when both of them were happy with their jobs and with their degrees versus exactly. when they were, like, stressed or unhappy, mm-hmm. that also took a toll on other things in their life.
Yeah.
And so that was her biggest advice, was to find something that makes you happy and that you enjoy, because everything else will be better and you'll have less stresses in your life if you enjoy what you're doing every day.
Exactly. And we completely know and recognize how hard that is. We're both in
the midst. Oh, yeah, it's not something, like, that's just going to happen overnight. No,
both of us are in the middle of trying to figure that out in different aspects of our life. And I think it's kind of, like, an open-ended, like, we don't have a black or white answer for how to find, how do you find the perfect career?
Exactly. Okay,
if we could answer that,
for sure,
we would be millionaires.
Definitely.
Because everyone's wanting to know that.
But I think putting that effort in and figuring out, like, hey, do this. Or I feel like sometimes just knowing that you're not alone. That, like, every other military spouse, or even if you're not in the military, I know plenty of people that are, like, trying to figure out what they want to do with their life. That's, like, a common thing. And I think that just because you have a degree doesn't mean you're going to know what you want to do. Or
1,000%.
My dad doesn't even use his degree. He got almost a PhD and doesn't even use it. You know? So, like, that, it doesn't exactly matter. Like, you aren't set in one path that you have to stick to. And so I think that's just a really good thing to know about and kind of know what your options are. And
yeah, like, it's not just because you're a military spouse doesn't mean you can't have a career. I know so many women in the military who have careers and who have amazing careers and do amazing work. And I do want to mention, too, if you're wanting to get a degree or wanting to go to school, it's not impossible. Nowadays,
there's a lot of grants.
Everything is online.
Well, there's everything online, but there's a lot of grants and there's a lot of, like, scholarship help that you can get
exactly
through the military and being a spouse specifically mm-hmm. in the military.
Yeah, so Grand Canyon University, from my home state, Arizona, does an amazing military spouse scholarship.
Oh, really?
So that's nice. You can do online programs, and they have so many online programs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from clinical counseling to business administration to criminal justice, and they also have a lot of, like, ministry and...
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a Christian school.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of online, like, ministry degrees as well, which are really awesome to travel with, actually.
Yeah.
But, they have, oh my god, anything under the sun online. So Grand Canyon University is a great one. One of my really great friends is doing her degree in education with them right now.
Oh, cool.
Arizona State, if you work for Starbucks, they pay for you to do online school with Arizona State.
Really?
Yeah, ASU.
I know there's like a national universities and online, Franklin mm-hmm. universities and online. There's a lot of online. You just have to search. And I think that's kind of one of the biggest themes of this podcast is that anything's possible if you're willing to put in the effort and have the drive and want to have this. You know, if you just want to not have a career, that's fine. But, like, own that. But don't feel like you can't have a career just because you married somebody in the military.
Exactly. Because you 100% can. It just takes that hard work. Also, I forgot to mention, there's the education centers on base.
Oh, yes.
They're amazing. Not just for military service members, but for spouses as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the other cool thing about this podcast is because we research for these episodes, we learn so much, and we just want people to know because there's so many hidden secrets and hidden gems that military and families and spouses specifically mm-hmm. have and get and can receive to make it easier because some people really do understand how tough it can be.
Yeah, it can be really tough. And I feel bad. Like, we're always like that. We're always like, oh, it's so hard. But you don't realize that it is.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people are depressed and sad because they can't do what they want to be doing.
Yeah.
And I think if you just kind of, okay.
There's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. Whip into shape. Let's put on our positive cap and let's research. What can I do? Now that COVID has happened, like I mentioned, so much stuff is online.
So much has changed.
Is virtual and remote. That maybe that opportunity that you looked up 2 years ago that you wanted, you couldn't get because it was 3 states away. Yeah. Now you could because they're only online. They're only working from home.
And this is hard, but I feel like if one person tells you no, there's somebody else that's going to tell you yes. Like, one no shouldn't discourage you. I've learned a lot from reading the Rachel Hollis books.
Mm-hmm.
And I would totally recommend anyone to read any of her books. She's very motivating. Like, reading her book, like, kicked me into shape. And I just think that's really important. And I think it's also, I don't want anyone to listen to this podcast and be like, wow, they just kind of complain that military life is hard. But I just want it to be like bringing awareness that these are why these issues are harder. These are why you hear so many quote unquote sad stories. And it's just that, like, it's not that like we want pity, but it's more just like understanding that we're not trying to ask for pity, but this is the reality of our life.
Yep.
And this is what we go through. And this is what everyone goes through in the military. And to be more understanding if you are an employer or if mm-hmm. you are trying to do that and just have resources that,
mm-hmm.
and if you guys know anything and have any other resources that you guys have used or ways or careers that have worked well with being in the military, let us know and we will shout 100%. That information out.
Yeah, and I want to really quick mention, you had mentioned like making employers more aware. Something that's important when you're interviewing, it is none of an employer's business that you are a military spouse. My biggest fear when I was applying, when I first moved to here and started working as a military spouse, was they're going to find out I'm a military spouse and they're not going to hire me because I could move next year.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It is none of their business.
Because that's like goes into like the whole discrimination.
They can't ask you if you're pregnant. Yeah. They can't ask you if you're a military spouse. If they ask you what your husband does and you want to say he's in the military, that's great. You don't have to. You can say, oh, he works for the government. He is doing work on Camp Pendleton. You don't lie, obviously. Yeah. 100% don't lie. But
you can be as vague as you possibly
you
want.
You don't need to say, oh, yeah, well, here's when it happens. When they ask you to tell me about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard because it is such a huge part of our identity. Like, our identity is, my husband's in the military. This is the life I live. It's a lifestyle. You don't have to say you're a military spouse.
That's true.
Just say, I'm a dedicated wife. I, love my husband. We have a really awesome family.
We get to travel.
We travel. We,
Yeah, then just go into yourself, about you and what makes you unique in your work style. And they don't care about your personal, you know, oh, I hate doing the dishes. Like, they don't care about that. They
and I think know you can you also work. Be as vague about your personal life as you want, because I think that also gives them opportunity just to go into their other questions about the actual field that they're going to be wanting to know about.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
don't because you don't want them to, like, check you off before they even hear about your credentials. Well, and
that happens. That happens so often when they ask you to tell about a little bit about yourself, and you say, well, I'm a military wife. If that's the first thing out of their mouth, the first impression that they have of you is she could leave in 6 months or he could leave in 6 months. Which, yeah, is a huge possibility. So, it's none of their business. They don't need to know. If they ask you, don't you lie. But also, just remind them of, yeah, but I'm, you know, we just moved here. Or we've been here for 6 years and we're probably going to be staying. And
yeah.
There are ways around
you
it.
You can say, like, hey, my husband has a really good job and a really good unit here. We're excited to be here long term.
Exactly.
Because you never know if you're not going to be there long term. No, that's not a lie.
But you can have your intention of being here long term. And that's the thing is, yeah, our intention is to stay in California for the rest of his career.
Because also on the flip side, maybe this is really bad to say, if they don't know a lot about military, then, like, they don't know. They don't know, like, when you're going to move, or they don't know the typical...
Exactly.
Time frames that you're in an area. It also really just depends about your service member's job.
Oh, for sure. But in a broad spectrum, just don't automatically volunteer that up. It's not something that they need to know. And if they find out later down the road after you're hired that your husband's in the military, great. They can't come up to you and say, well, you didn't tell me that your husband was in the military when we interviewed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that was none of your business. So... move along.
Just a little food for thought from Shay and I.
I was just thinking about it when you said making employers sensitive to that. And it's like, they're not sensitive to it at all. Yeah. If they don't pride themselves on hiring military, they do not want you to be a military spouse because they don't want you to leave. That's why it's none of their business. You don't have to tell them.
Very true. All right. Well, this has been good. Our
hard note here.
I just feel like it's really good, and I hope that you guys were able to learn something. And if you guys have any questions, please reach out.
Everyone is searching for that special thing.
You're not alone. It goes around,
yeah.
Don't feel like you're not your best self because you don't have a career. You don't even know what you want to do. Like, that doesn't take away from your worth.
Exactly. And you'll figure it out.
Definitely.
So will we, one day.
Yeah, one day. If Shay and I start a company, everyone apply.
Yeah, we're going to manage everyone's businesses.
All right, see you guys next week. Okay, so to end this podcast, we have one get to know you question.
Yeah.
And it is, what movie makes me ugly cry? So what movie makes you ugly cry, Shay?
So I'm a crier, and a lot of movies make me ugly cry, but I think the top of the top movie that makes me ugly cry is The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
That is a tearjerker.
If you haven't seen that movie, and you don't want to be, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Mortified for life? Or scarred? Scarred for life, because I... just randomly will think about this movie and be depressed for the rest of the day. It is the saddest, most...
But it's a good movie.
Oh my god, it's an amazing movie. Like, it's done so well, and there's so much history in it. I won't give it away, but...
it's good, but it's sad.
I cried through the whole movie. Like, it's literally sad. The whole movie.
No, it's a sad one. I would say my ugly cry movie is Dear John. And it's not up until he's reading the letter to his dad. That, like, I can't even, like, I know it's coming. So, like, obviously the first time I watched it, I, like, ugly cried. And every time since, because I remember watching it with Kate, and I was like, I promise I won't Dear John you when you go to boot camp. And he's like, oh, gee, thanks. And, but I, like, every time it's coming up, I just ugly cry. Like, horribly. Like, it is, oh my gosh. And then, this actually makes me think of, the only time I have, like, ugly cried in person, like, in the theaters, was watching The Fault in Our Stars, because I was very sick during that movie, and I had, like, chemo injections going on during that movie, so, like, I was very sick when the movie came out, and I remember going and seeing it with my little middle school, high school boyfriend, and I, like, threw, like, tissues down and was, like, sobbing. In the movie theater, and they're all like, what is wrong with
but you, like,
you?
Really resonated
I just,
with
like,
it.
Resonated with it, yeah. And I was just, like, so sad, yeah. And, like, that's the only time I've ugly cried, like, in person, but anytime Dear John comes on, I could, like, quote most of the movie, But when he reads that letter to his father and then he gets emotional, I can't.
Oh, I know. My heart is just horrible.
So. I'm like in my feels right now.
I know.
I'm like, oh my God, I need to go watch a sad movie.
This is really like resonating with movies, but Cade really wants to get HBO Max.
Oh, yeah.
And he thinks it's really good. So if anybody that's a listener that has HBO Max and totally is for it, please let me know if it's worth it and like what good movies to watch on HBO Max if we end up getting it.
We have HBO Max.
Do you like it?
We don't use it.
Oh, good. Awesome. Well, this episode was great. We're really excited. We have some special guests coming.
Lots of special guests.
The next couple of weeks, so they'll be really good. Check out Bree's episode last week that posted because it's amazing. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Yes.